Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up, never shut up, never shut up, never shut up.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It is March 29th of 2024. How is it March 29th already? Like, it just totally zipped by. Anyway, it's another fan favorite Friday, and today I'm joined by Barbara Sheridan. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's Friday. Woo!
It's Friday. Yeah. Woohoo! It's Friday. You're from California, yeah? Or in California?
I'm in LA, but I'm originally from Miami.
Okay. What's your favorite song, Barbara?
It's Merman.
It's Merman? Oh my gosh. No. How did I know? Okay, what is your favorite performance of Merman?
There is a live performance from Halloween in 2017 that I really love. It's vocally, there's nothing super special about it. I mean, it's good, it's, you know, but it's Halloween. So she's wearing a veil and she looks very like Lydia Deetz from Beetlejuice. It's like a veil and it's pulled back over her hair. And she's wearing like, I think it was red and black gown. And, I think it's a black dress, sorry. And I just love the vibe. And the song is very kind of dark to me. So it all worked for me. So I just really love that performance. I love watching it on YouTube.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was the Ann Arbor, Michigan show.
Yes, it was.
And people went, I tried to pull it out to go to that show, but I ended up not going. But fans went dressed up as a bunch of people went dressed up as characters from the Strange Little Girls album.
I remember.
Those pictures were so much fun.
They were.
Yeah.
They really were.
Why didn't I go to see that show? Any particular reason that that's your favorite live version? Or
just the whole vibe works for me. Like I said, the song for me is a little dark, and just the visual and the lyrics and everything works for me. Just the way she's dressed, it just all comes together visually for me.
What's your favorite lyrical moment of the song?
I really love when the lyric of "Who could ever harm you?" and her voice kind of almost cracks in that moment. Something in the song changes a little bit and it becomes sweeter, I think. For me, it's like this person becomes even more precious to her. Like, she's showing us just how vulnerable she is in that moment, like with the way her voice is. I just really love that moment.
Well, then that leads into the favorite musical moment of the song.
I think when the song kind of goes up an octave in "Who Could Ever Say You're Not Simply Wonderful," it kind of, the key change goes up a little bit. But yeah, I really love that change. It lifts the song up just in the right moment after getting really vulnerable, I think, kind of brings it back to not being where your heart is about to burst. It brings you back just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, it feels like a sad song. For sure.
Yes, agree.
But what's interesting is, you know, there's just one quote on Yes Ed from 1999 about it, which I'll read to everybody. It's inspired by a man with integrity, such deep integrity that I married him. It's about having someone heal your whole life. I'm talking about the times when lines have been crossed by men. Men can be dangerous, like in the song Datura, about how sometimes they can bring you gold and sometimes they can be the bearer of poison. The plant Datura is a hallucinogen and it's like men. If you get the right amount, you'll walk into the garden and become a woman. But if too much seeps in the wrong way and at the wrong time, it'll kill you. So yeah, Merman is that. When I was touring last year, Matthew Shepard got murdered. I was dedicating it to him. A lot of guys were asking me to sing it for him. And it just kind of took a life on its own, which I think, you know, that's definitely how I associate it is with Matthew Shepard, right? So how is it not sad when we're associating it with that? But then, you know, reading that, I was like, oh my gosh, that really gives me, it really makes sense what Tori says about how, you know, the songs change meaning. Like, they come from her, you know, they come through her, they come out into the world. And once they get out into the world, it's different because, you know, I don't think I've ever read that. I mean, I just never had any cause to look that up. So you couldn't have told me that this song wasn't written for and about Matthew Shepard.
I mean, she sang it right after his death for him. Yeah. So for me, I mean, the song came out right around the same time. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
It came out in 98.
Right. And he was killed in October 98, I believe.
Oh, it was released on June 15th, 99. Our first released April 98 as a free download with pre-orders for Choir Girl. And then it was showed up on the No Boundaries, which was like a Bosnian for Bosnian refugees. And that was released on June 15th of 99. So it was kind of released in two different formats.
Right. So, I mean, the fans, we must have known about it by October of 98 with the download.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, she was playing it. I think she first, I want to say she first played it either late October or early November. And so I've always associated it with Matthew Shepard too. And just, you know, gay rights and queer rights and honestly, death. Like, that's been part of what I've always thought about with this song, just the going to sleep part, you know, that's always been like what I've imagined it meant, probably because her dedicating it to him.
Yeah. So the tour started April 18th in Fort Lauderdale, and it showed up first on April 25th of 98 in Boston in the encore. So, you know, it was the whole show. She did Baker Baker Upside Down solo, and then she closes the show after Gone, the second encore, she closes it with Merman solo, and then she doesn't play it again until August of 98. And there it is in the middle. And then she plays it another 15 times. I mean, well, after the total, she plays it 15 times in 98. So yeah, it definitely kind of met people and met that kind of grieving aspect. And I think it certainly fits with, you know, I mean, I didn't know Matthew Shepard at all, right, personally, but it just kind of fits with that essence and that, you know, for sure, that queer anthem. Absolutely. I'm going to say my favorite, and I don't understand it, but I love the line, finally, you're on peppermint land.
Yeah, me either. I just, it's soothing somehow. Like it feels like Christmas, and it feels like you can breathe. I just, you know, it is what it is to you, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, we start out with go to bed, the priests are dead. Now no one can call you bad. Go to bed, the priests are dead. Finally, you're on peppermint land. And then we get the refrain, he's a merman. He doesn't need your voice. He's a merman. And then we get a second verse, go to bed, dream instead, and you will find him. He's a merman to the knee, and he doesn't need something you're not willing to give. He's a merman, doesn't need your voice to cross his land of ice, which is, you know, kind of harkens back to the finally you're on peppermint land, you know, that kind of icy feeling. I think it's interesting too, because, you know, it's he, you know, he's a merman, he doesn't need your voice, he's a merman. There's like, it's as a gendered song, it's very much a male gendered song. Not so much. It doesn't feel like a song girl to me. It feels like a song queer to me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What color is this song?
So this song is, like I said before, it's dark, it's black, but I see like some bursts of light sometimes, like with some seafoam green trying to come through with that light, like underwater, like deep, dark water. That's what I definitely feel and see.
Mm. Do you think there's a relationship between this song and Liquid Diamonds?
Oh, I don't know. Not for me. They're definitely boy and girl. I don't, there's no crossover there for me.
Okay. I was just wondering, because you're like underwater, and I'm like, well, underwater thing.
Mm-hmm. I've been asking her to play the last two tours. I did not get it.
Have you heard it live?
I have, but I haven't heard it the past, since it became like extra special to me.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
That Tori, she's a naughty one.
I know.
When did you get to hear it live?
Oh boy. 2017.
2017.
Yeah.
What actor would play this song in a movie?
Oh, Barry Keoghan. Do you know the Irish actor?
Well, yeah, everyone knows Barry now.
Okay. Just making sure. For those of you that don't know, he was the guy from Saltburn.
Right. For those of you living under a rock.
The guy.
I did watch Saltburn because I was like, well, I kind of want to see what everybody's talking about. Oh, I thought it was good. I thought it
I
was good.
I loved it. But yeah.
He also had a small part in the Chernobyl miniseries on HBO.
I could not watch that. I was too scared. That would give me nightmares.
I am obsessed.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, Barry Keoghan, I absolutely see it. And I think that's a brilliant choice. I think this is a brilliant choice.
Because for me, he could be the merman or the priest. Like, I could see him being either. So he totally works for me.
He could be both.
Yeah. Like, he works.
We talked about Hot Wings for a second beforehand. Did you see his Hot Wings episode?
I haven't yet, no.
It's good.
I'll check it out.
He's, you know, you get more of an idea of how people are in their personal lives with that show. And you really get a snapshot of Barry and like who he is, which I thought was really interesting. Ephraim will probably cut this out of the Spotify version, which is fine, but you can listen to it on the Patreon page. We had this woman, Maria Luisa, she made this meal for my cousin's husband's birthday. And it was like, they were like eggs or tortilla pieces that had like been dipped in eggs or like surrounding eggs. I can't remember what it was. This is forever ago, like 2005 or something. And they were like battered tortillas, and then they were cooked in this chili sauce. And so we had the party, and then I was like house sitting for my aunt afterwards. So like I continued to eat this food because that was what was in the refrigerator, and it was just damn good because Maria Luisa can cook. And it got progressively hotter because when you spicy food is done right and you let it sit, it gets progressively hotter. And so I can't remember. It was, I don't know, it must have been like 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm eating this for breakfast. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sweating. This is so hot. And I went in, I'm like drinking a beer at 11 o'clock in the morning because it was so hot, but it was so good. I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to eat this. This is like amazingly delicious. I'm not going to not eat this. So I guess I'm having a beer at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
Not to get drunk or even buzz. Just my mouth is on fire. My body is on fire.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Yes. Okay. How does this song fit into the greater story of your life?
Okay. So I've always liked the song, but in late 2019, the song really became a lifeline and a favorite after one of my best friends took his own life. So I would just listen to the song, and it really soothed me in like the worst parts of my grief. Like I said before, it really was kind of like a lullaby, and just the imagery of the song helped me imagine my friend at peace and in a place where he was free and free of mental anguish and in a calm sea. So that's when the song just really became everything.
What is your friend's name?
My friend's name is Jeff.
Jeff. Okay.
Yes.
We will hold Jeff in that space.
Thank you.
The way she steps up with songs for grief and that, I mean, it's not necessarily that it's a song written for that, but it definitely was a song that became that at a certain point. And I can see how it comes back around like that again, another time.
The song always had a connotation of grief for me because of Matthew Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
But when I lost Jeff, it was just a whole nother level. It just really took me where I needed to go at that time.
Was Jeff a Tory fan? Was he in Ears with Feet?
No, not really. He would put up with her for me, but that's about it.
He was a good friend then.
Yeah, the best. Yeah.
Is there anything, I mean, let's immortalize Jeff in this moment. What would you like to share about Jeff?
Oh, Jeff was, he was a quiet soul, but very deep, very smart. He was my best friend and brother and super kind and quiet. But once you were part of his tribe, he would do anything for you.
So he was a merman.
Yeah, he was a Leo, very loyal.
I mean, he fits a man with integrity. He fits, I mean, as you're describing him, it just sounds so much like what Tori said. A man with so much integrity that I married him. Right. I mean, I know Tori's talking about Mark, but
Right.
that same sense of like quiet and supportive and loyal and
Absolutely.
all of those things. That's beautiful. That's
Yeah.
beautiful. So now we can all think about Jeff when we hear Merman.
I would love that.
Yes. I will always think about Jeff.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's a hard thing. I mean, grief is a hard thing to share, and grief is a hard thing to hold for other people. I really appreciate that about Tori's music, not just the music, but also Tori herself. Really, I think she does a good job holding grief for other people.
An amazing job. I don't know how she does it.
But grief is grief, right? I mean, it's just this incredible roller coaster ride that takes the time that it takes. And sometimes that time is infinite.
This is a new grief for me, a grief that will never completely go away. It's the new kind that changes your life and you just, you're different and you live with it. So it's been a process.
We have to hold hands with it. Because it's always going to be there. Yeah, I lost my best friend from high school, passed away a number of years ago. You know, we had fallen out of touch, and you know, there would be moments where we would kind of touch across the internet and all of that. But yeah, like that loss haunts me, and it's not something I ever thought would have happened. And you know, there's that. You know, I was a shit friend in high school. I think I wasn't. You know, like I couldn't see. I have gone through my own stuff, right? So I couldn't see what I felt like I needed to see. And there's always that part of like, I failed as a friend both then and then later on. And, you know, that's part of grief too, right? It's not just the loss of a person that we also sit with maybe I could have done something.
Yeah, that's part of it. I also had known Jeff since high school, since we were 16.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So those kinds of friends, they know you different. Where would you most like to listen to this song? Where in the world?
I would love to be on a cliff in Ireland, maybe the Cliffs of Moher, and next to the cold ocean on the green grass, looking at the water, looking for some mermen or silkies, enjoying the view.
Don't get close to those selkies.
No, the clips are high.
Why is it we want to listen to Tori while we're sitting on a cliff overlooking the ocean? How many of you, like there's the polls for this episode. How many of you would like to listen to a Tori Amos, your favorite Tori Amos song, while sitting on a cliff overlooking the ocean? And I bet it'd be a whole heck of a lot of us.
It's also because we're deciding if we're going to jump. Just kidding.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, whoa, we're going someplace. Hey, Mrs. C, please don't jump right now. But that's a different song. That's maybe California.
California, yeah.
Oh, Barbara.
I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
Right? I would never mean to mention that song.
How does your past experience influence your relationship with this song?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
The way this came up for me was, I mean, like one of the things that ties me to Tori is the fact that I am a classically trained musician. So that kind of influence in, you know, my favorite was Apollo's Frock. So the important part of Apollo's Frock is actually the intro to that, because it's me hearing this instrument that I spent 12 years training on. It's me hearing that instrument in a different way. So that's
right.
How this question came about for me. And then I thought about it with other people. It's like, well, what were you, you know, what was your life lead up to the moment you heard this song?
Okay.
And then your life, like, oh, those past experiences, like I can really see the thread in my own life and how this thread goes through to this song. Yeah, that's the inspiration behind that question. For you and anybody else who wanted to know.
Okay, so I would say that just growing up with my best friend and always going to the beach, growing up in Miami, taking trips to other beaches throughout Florida with him. I think it's definitely made that connection of water, merman, and him just putting it all together. I would say that's... Sorry, go ahead.
Did Jeff ever hear this song?
Probably, but not in a "here, pay attention to this" way. Yeah.
What was the music he liked?
Well, you know, we grew up, we would, let's see, what concerts, like, we always would go to see U2 together. That was the band we always saw together. We went to many, like, Lollapalooza together. We saw Dave Matthews Band together. Oh gosh, I feel like so many things I'm forgetting right now, but lots of like 90s rock music and stuff.
Yes, because we're the same age.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and come on, 90s rock music was fantastic.
It was good.
Okay, last question. Who would you like to see cover this song?
Okay, I came up with Bat for Lashes. Do you know that band or the singer?
I know them, but I don't, okay. I don't know their music, unfortunately. Okay.
Well, the singer, her name is Natasha Khan, mm-hmm. and her voice is very airy. Mm. I think she could really tap into the emotions of the song pretty easily. I think she definitely has what it takes to go there completely. Yeah.
So not Celine Dion. No, I'm just kidding.
No, not this time. No. She could do maybe California.
Celine. Tell us where we can find you on the socials, Barbara.
Bobby's Collecting Bees on Instagram and Barbarella Gordon Sheridan on Facebook.
Brilliant.
No TikTok for me.
No TikTok?
No.
I'm on TikTok, but why would you want to watch me on TikTok? You got to pick your social media and stick with it. And rather than, you know, tell us what you've got going on in the world that you want to share with us.
Just on our topic that we talked today, I just wanted to give out the phone number to a crisis hotline.
If you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, there is hope and there is help. You matter. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The calls are free and confidential. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. You are not alone.
In case you're feeling not so great and you need someone to talk to, just want everybody to not feel alone and reach out if you need someone, or you can DM me on Instagram.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that work in the world and holding space for others.
Yeah.
Because it is important that we find people to reach out to and people to talk to.
Yeah.
Trauma happens in isolation. Healing happens in community.
Amen.
Yeah. And didn't you make bracelets?
I did make bracelets last four.
You want to talk about those?
in the spirit of the Taylor Swift bracelets, I just made some leather bracelets with Tori's songs engraved on them. And I just handed them out to our Tori friends on tour. Let people pick what
I
song.
I found one buried in my purse. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
And then I put it somewhere special. And if you know what happens when you put things in special places.
You forget where they are.
Yes. I'm like, it's got to be on my desk somewhere. But yes, it was a special gift.
Yeah. Just let people pick what song spoke to them. And so it was nice.
If someone wanted one, could they get one from you?
They could. Just DM me on Instagram or Facebook.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at. Yes. So if you want to, but they're really, really sweet.
Yeah.
They're really sweet. It's a special souvenir that I got as well. Yeah. I loved it.
Yay.
Make sure you follow Songs of Tori Amos on the socials. We're Songs of Tori Amos on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can follow me as well. I'm Rose Cress on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not really anywhere else. And I never share this, but I'm like, what if I got going on in the world? You could do yoga with me online. I do bi-monthly classes that are themed with new moon and full moon. So I do those. And I know I'm like totally all into that craziness. I don't know why. I just want to know it. I just want to do it. So, and then obviously you can follow me on Never Shut Up, because I'm never going to shut up about this woman, Tori Amos, nor am I going to shut up about yoga. I will shut up about Dune and stuff like that. And then make sure you become a member of Patreon. Like, they just, like, we're on to the Strange Little Girls season, and I've been loving the New Age Drive All Night podcast. And there's going to be stickers if you're a Patreon member. So if you're not a member of Patreon, then sign up to be one. And you can find the full unedited version of this conversation on our Patreon page as free content. So head over there, patreon.com, Songs of Tori Amos, and listen to the full conversation. While you're there, you can check out some of our other offerings and even sign up to become a Patreon. I would love it if you all had an amazing weekend. Happy Easter, which is coming up on Sunday, as if it would come up on any other day. Thanks, Rose, for that clarification. But I know you were all curious about that. So yes, Easter is Sunday. Have a wonderful Monday with Ephren and New Music Monday. I always enjoy checking in with Ephren. Love those weekly check-ins with Ephren. And I will see you on Tuesday. Thank you so much, Barbara, again for joining me. Let's say bye to everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Who could ever say? when you thought it was safe to go back to iTunes. An old debate resurfaces. Will you choose fear, or will you choose Fox?
Hey everybody, we're so thrilled to bring you our Strange Little Girls season, starting with the first episode, New Age. It's too classy to scream out the word fucks in the middle of a Velvet Underground song.
Oh really? The woman who screeches hard cock and you can make me come isn't gonna say the F word?
In this episode, we talk to acclaimed Lou Reed biographer Will Hermes.
Tori takes these songs apart, like she interrogates these songs.
As well as conversations with two super fans.
It sounds like fucks to me.
Sure, Jan.
We're committed to getting to know these strange little girls by going into their psyches.
That wouldn't mean anything to you if a horny woman shook out her hair.
It wouldn't mean anything to me. But if a librarian came up to me and shook out her hair at me, we'll find out their names, their stories, their clothes. And through the wonderful talents of Macy Rodman, we'll take a peek into their lives.
We got some of the kids at recess going over the bridge. When you ask them what they're doing over there, they say they're looking for love. I don't know where they're getting this stuff.
Subscribe to Drive All Night, the songs of Tori Amos for our Strange Little Girls season and our brand new episode, New Age. I'm deadly serious. Sick little fox serious. How dare you? Available right now everywhere you find podcasts. Never Shut Up is a production of the Sideways Society. For more information and links to things mentioned on the show, please visit us online at songsoftoriamos.com.
Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up.